In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Huddle is on the air. It's all brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We are broadcasting live. We are at Bullwinkle's tonight out here on Blue Mound Road, right across the street from the Brookfield corners of Brookfield, I should say, Gerke's Corners in that area. If you want to come by and say hi, please feel free to do so. As it looks like, if you go to the parking lot, thousands have. The place is pretty crowded tonight, actually. It's a really good crowd. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, joining us out here this evening. Chucker, how you doing, man?
Oh, really good, Bill. I got a big Greek salad sitting right in front of me. They usually bring the food usually like 30 seconds before we go on the air, and it's like it's sitting out in front of us for the next 20 minutes.
It's because you were socializing for a while prior to, so.
Well, yeah, we got some.
You order it late.
We got some good people here in the, you know, a lot of people came out. Yeah, it was a tough place to park tonight. Parking
so everybody's crowd. Getting out tonight before the Great White Death takes over tomorrow, and nobody can move anywhere. It's gridlock.
I saw most of the snow is going to be like towards Lake Michigan, though, right along the Lake Michigan line.
All right, well, I can live
with
that.
I think out here in the Brookfield area, I think it's going to be okay.
I'll be okay with that.
I'm not exactly a meteorologist. I had a meteorology class, though, in UW Eau Claire.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got
a weather
C.
class in college.
Got a C.
Did you?
Got a C, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not exactly good
at science. That's a passing grade. It's a passing grade. So you learned about cumulus, and you learned about the dissipation of
yes,
clouds.
Yes, okay. It's called weather and climate.
Okay.
Weather and climate. So, I mean, this is your area out here.
This is. I'm maybe 5 minutes away at most.
Uh-huh.
When I used to live in the old house, I could crawl home from here.
Yeah,
it was down the street. The new house is maybe a mile at best, so
yeah.
A couple of stoplights and you're down the road, so not a bad place. I was just across the street yesterday, as a matter of fact. I picked up dinner at Sendik's.
Okay, yeah.
So Sendik's has got to get some Luigi's pizza in there, though. Once they do that, then I'll shop over at Sendik's a little more often, but we're good to go. So really kind of a tumultuous week for the Green Bay Packers. They come out of the New England Patriots game with a loss and a lot of questions about Mike McCarthy's job. What do you think it's going to take for the talk to stall regarding Mike McCarthy losing a job?
Probably you and I doing this show in Atlanta in February. That's what's going to don't you think?
Well, we're going to be there regardless.
That's right. You're going to be there.
I'll be there without a doubt. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. What if he gets to an NFC Championship game and they fall short? Do you think he still loses his job?
I think talent-wise, they have the ability to go there. Can they pick themselves off the mat one more time? I mean, they've done it a few times under Mike McCarthy. But, you know, can they do it? Are they good enough to do it? They got the talent to do it. But are they so out of whack right now? Are they going to make the recovery this time?
Aaron Rodgers was given the opportunity when he was asked about, you know, hey, you've done RELAX, and then you did Run the Table. What's this year? And he said, well, that was organic. You know, it was just a question, and I started answering it. And so when given the opportunity about his confidence level of you know, another phrase this year, he just said, we just need to play better. We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Does it sound like his confidence level and the ability to kind of pull this team out of whatever nosedive it happens to be in is just not there? Or is he just being very cautious with his, I think we can run the table comments?
He said before the season, and he said early this season, Bill, that, okay, we're going to be a work in progress on offense. We're going to be a work in progress on offense. And here we are a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. And I guess they're still a work in progress because, if anything, they're either – straight line, beeline it, or on a dip a little bit because we're not seeing the offense improvement. In fact, they lost Geronimo Allison for the rest of
the
season.
Right, yeah, he's gone.
So that's a tough loss too. And, you know, some of these rookies got to step up. Remember early in the season in training camp, he called out those guys, those young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those guys are starting to play better. He's starting to get more on the page with EQ and all that. But this is, that was a tough stretch. I didn't like the schedule to begin with.
Right.
You got one home game in 7 weeks, Bill. I don't care what anybody says. That's a tough stretch. But, you know, you had three home games in the first 4 weeks of the season. You needed to come off 4-0 and 3-1 of that. You didn't do it.
When you look at the overall offense, their numbers are impressive. 406.5 yards per game, sixth overall in the National Football League. But then you get to scoring and points per game. And that's probably one of the biggest telltale signs. They're sitting at 14th. Now, it's up from 17 where they were. But in the grand scheme of things, they're getting a lot of yardage. They're moving the football. They're not punching it into the end zone. Is it play calling and creativity? Is it Aaron Rodgers not trusting his wide receivers? Is it, as Aaron Rodgers alluded to, and I thought that was a loud statement from yesterday's presser when he said, we got to figure out ways to get the ball to Devontae. We got to run the ball more. And I'm thinking, what? When's the last time you ever heard Aaron Rodgers say that? Got to run the ball more. And then he says, and then it's trust. All three things, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I went and looked at the All-22, and there are times that he's throwing to a jersey that's open and not necessarily to a spot because he doesn't trust his guys. But is this back to play calling where they're not calling plays for Devontae Adams and they're not running the football enough, and that's all on Mike McCarthy? Because he's saying, I don't have any RPOs. We only had one in the last game.
Well, I think the whole operation needs a facelift. I do. I just think that McCarthy knows it. Rodgers knows it, that the divorce is eventually going to have to happen between those two. I think you need a new voice in there. And I think that's not saying anything new or trying to invent something here. I really think you're going to play out the rest of the season with these guys and get as far as you can. And I think that they need a new voice to come in. I think Rodgers is tired of hearing McCarthy, and McCarthy is tired of dealing with Rodgers. I think they're tired of dealing with each other. Bill, I know you're around this team as much as anybody, and you know that there comes a time in sports after 12 or 13 years that the voice is no longer heard anymore.
Right.
I think that's happening.
You've got guys, by the way, the injury report comes out today, kind of interesting. Randall Cobb, now with a hamstring, full participant yesterday, limited today. Mike Daniels, who was not on the injury report yesterday, he's got a shoulder injury now. He was limited today. Jimmy Graham, we all know, is always limited. Kevin King, with that hamstring, not participating. He's another guy that's now labeled as fragile. Blake Martinez with the ankle, he's limited. Nick Perry with the ankle, he's a full participant. Aaron Rodgers as well with the knee, he's full participation. So it's good to get Kentrell Bryce back because they need him at the safety, even though I can't believe I'm relying on Kentrell Bryce at this point. But with what they've done with Ty Montgomery and then getting rid of HaHa Clinton-Dix, and, you know, this past week you've got another one that they jettisoned. You got Kentrell Bryce you're relying upon. How is it they're sending a message, or are things just unraveling?
I think it's just unraveling, Bill. I mean, Brian Gutekunst is
– I hear exasperation in your voice.
It is. I'm just frustrated.
Yeah.
Because they're 3-4-1, and I was hoping to get a split out of that Los Angeles-New England swing right there.
I think a lot of us were looking at that saying they needed one of those two.
And it just – you know, you don't see a lot of happy faces. Even, you know, Randall Cobb. He was interviewed, and I saw him on TV the other day, and he was talking about, well, you know what, we just haven't turned the table. We just haven't turned the corner. And it's easy to say run the table and all that, but we just haven't done it. And I don't know. I don't know why we haven't run the table or we haven't done a few things out there, but we're struggling.
The offense is not hitting on all cylinders. I said this earlier today. I said, look, their best defense is the offense. And the way it has to work is the offense has to get out to a lead because they're constantly playing from behind right now.
Yeah.
They defer. They give up that early score. They're playing from behind. They get back to even. They hang around for a while. The defense makes adjustments. The other team scores. The Packers are playing from behind. They don't get that, you know, that halftime deference. It's not working out for them. They're not getting two scores, the 14-point swing that they're hoping for. Then you're playing from behind in the third quarter. A mistake happens in the fourth, and they go on to lose a game. That's been pretty much the way it's happened the last few games. So the way they can only play better defense is if they play offense, in which they get up by a couple of scores. They force teams to start throwing the football. It becomes a little more predictable. They can then pin their ears back and go after them, and the defense gets better. I mean, that's the blueprint to beat the Packers as well, don't get me wrong. But the offense isn't holding up its end of the bargain.
I think today's Bill of going to Lambeau Field and thinking the Packers are going to blow somebody out of Miami Dolphins team. You know, years gone by, this game coming with the Dolphins, you'd be able to pick your score. 45-10.
Right. They're
going to blow them out. San Francisco, a couple of weeks ago on Monday Night Football. Now they're going to blow those guys out. It's not happening anymore. I think the days of that right now are not going to happen this season. Every game is going to be tough. Sure, you might pull away and get somebody on a bad day. But the Packers right now are not gelled enough where they're going to take it to somebody. I think, you know, some people want to think that they're predictable. I just think the whole operation right now needs a facelift, and they're not playing well. Aaron's not playing his best football. And, you know, Randall Cobb is not even I was expecting big things out of Cobb this year, and he's, in my opinion, he's dropping down on the depth chart.
The line, by the way, 9.5. The Packers are giving Miami in this one. Now, if you're a betting guy, and I know you do some stuff on the morning show with those guys, I think I take Miami in the 9.5 points.
I would too. And this is a couple weeks ago, Bill, when Packers were like at 8.5, 9, 9.5 point favorite against San Francisco. Partner of the morning, Bill, on the fan in Milwaukee, he said, "Well, I'll tell, the Packers are going to roll." And I'm like, "Man, the Packers aren't good enough. I haven't seen anything where they're going to." In years gone by on history, yes, I would say, "Yeah, no problem, Monday Night Football," but not the Packers aren't. I would take Miami. I'm just really concerned, man, with the rest of the season. I think they're just going to have to play the string out, Bill, and let the chips fall where they may, and try to get guys like Valdez Scantling better. Get him improved.
Jamon Moore. I mean, Equanimeous St. Brown. Yeah, they got good weapons.
Jamon Moore was drafted higher than those other two guys, and he's not even getting on the field.
One of the things that I think Mike McCarthy said coming out of the bye has really rung true. We'll talk about that when we come back because it hasn't really happened the way we thought it would. Stay tuned. We are broadcasting live out here at Bullwinkle's. We're on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. Come on by right across the street from the corners of Brookfield. You can swing in, get something to eat, get some beverages, get a chance to watch. Well, they got, I don't know how many hundreds of TVs here, but they got it's a giant sports bar. You can't miss the place. It looks like it's absolutely jammed to the rims, but there are tables available. So if you want to come on in and enjoy yourself, please come out and do so. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more coming up right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I mean, you have normal challenges when you lose players. I think it's like anything. When you lose players, particularly that are active players on your 46, it's more of a challenge than if it's someone that is not on the 46 or in practice. So, I mean, I think it's one of the many challenges in this league. We've had 2 weeks of it.
Those are the words of Mike McCarthy. They didn't lose anybody. They sent them packing. It's not like you dropped them off of the plane and they fell out of the back or something like that. They didn't lose these guys to injury. Jermaine Whitehead.
I don't think he wanted to go.
He slapped the hell out of a Patriot. Gone. See ya. We don't need you. Ty Montgomery defies orders to kneel the ball. See ya. Get out. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. We don't need you talking out. Get the hell out of here. I know Brian Gutekunst said, look, I don't do this to send messages, but he's sending a loud message, isn't he?
Yeah, I think with the Whitehead thing, there's probably more to it.
There's got to be. I agree with you.
I heard he's got a little bit of a temper.
Yep.
And he's caused some other issues in the past, so this was not the first stir-up with him.
I heard the exact same thing, and we've seen some tempers, I'm going to say, at training camp with him before. So, no, I get it. They probably just had enough and said you need to curb your appeal, so to speak, and he never did, and they finally had enough because it cost him actually now in a game. And Mike McCarthy, I don't know if McCarthy's going to Brian Gutekunst and he's saying, hey, I need to get rid of these guys, dump them, or if Gutekunst has seen it and said it's enough, or they're both coming to an agreement on this, or what, because I would like to think that McCarthy's saying, I got to make sure I keep my arms wrapped around this team because I don't want this thing to spin out of control.
Do you think those two are on the same page, though, Bill? Gutekunst and McCarthy when it comes to this stuff?
I think McCarthy agreed that Gutekunst was their best choice for the general manager's job.
But when it comes to player decisions like this?
Wouldn't he? I mean,
it seemed like Ted and McCarthy usually were.
They seem to be, yeah.
For the most part.
But I think Mike was Ted's guy. Gutekunst didn't give Mike a contract extension. Yeah. And neither did Mark Murphy. And Mark Murphy is as good a relationship as Mark Murphy has with Mike McCarthy, and I think that might be the reason that Mike's still there.
Yeah,
for some of the years that they had some losses, and Ted and him had a good relationship. But I think Mark agreed, hey, stability is the best thing for the organization. But I think Gutekunst is saying, I may want to move, I may want to make a change. So we're not going to give this guy a contract extension right now, meaning this past offseason. I'm going to wait and see. And in essence, do you think they kind of clipped the wings of Mike McCarthy, but not? Because players are saying, look, you may not even be here. What do I care?
You had Brian Billick on your show the other day. And
right.
It was Brian that said that exact same thing, Bill, when he said he was telling you that, hey, you know what, when a guy's on a lame duck coach, basically, well, he loses some power, doesn't
right.
he? He loses some – basically, he lost some power. When back in 2005, remember when Ted Thompson took over, he extended Mike Sherman's contract. And we all knew, hey, he extended his contract by a year. But we all know Sherman's going to be gone at the end of the season. But he extended him just to help Sherman out. So he basically threw him a bone. But they didn't do that with Mike McCarthy. They didn't extend that at all.
No.
And you know what? Maybe whether they did or not, I just think this is it.
I think it this way. They need to go 7-1, get to 10 wins, get themselves into the postseason, and at least get a couple of wins. If they do that and turn things around and things become more copacetic, I think Mike McCarthy's safe. Even if they don't win a championship, I think he's safe. If they don't make the playoffs or they only get to, say, to 9 wins or 8 wins, barely get in or barely get edged out, and then an early exit or no playoffs at all, I think he's gone.
See, I think the playoffs are very much attainable in this division with Minnesota and Chicago. You know, if they win this week against Miami.
I don't know. Go through the schedule. Let's see.
Let's go 7-1.
Would you give, let's see here. Do you give the Packers a fighting chance in Minnesota?
No.
Would you give them a fighting chance if Khalil Mack is healthy down in Chicago?
But here's what I think is going to happen, Bill. I think that the winner of this division is going to win the division with a bad record. I don't think Chicago's blowing out two bad teams the last couple of weeks.
Blowing out bad teams that the Packers couldn't blow out.
Yes, exactly. But I don't think I don't think the Bears are all that good.
I don't think the Bears are as good as it's hard for me to say they're not as good as the record, because the record is what it is. But I think what they've got right now is the ability to say, Mitch Trubisky, go ahead and just do your thing, because we've got a defense that can, if you make a mistake, can erase that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you look at what the Packers are doing, and you kind of move on and say, okay, Miami coming up, they should beat Miami. At Seattle, Seattle's playing better football. I'm not chalking it up as a win.
You know, it's always tough one in there.
61% of the teams on that play on Sunday that goes travel on to Thursday night football lose.
Yeah.
The odds are stacked against them, and now you got a good Seattle team that's starting to play better. So I'm going to say, okay, they lose that game. At Minnesota, no, they lose that game. They beat Arizona at home. They'd probably beat Atlanta at home.
Maybe.
The Bears on the road, maybe.
Atlanta just went into Washington and destroyed them.
Yeah, maybe they got it going on again. Maybe their mojo's back. At Chicago, Chicago was beating the hell out of the Packers early on in that ballgame. If it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers dinking and dunking his way down the field and trusting his wide receivers for yards after the catch.
Well, like when he said 7-1, but that's tough, man. I mean, okay, first of all, you got to beat Miami.
Right.
Tough. I mean, this Miami's no pushover.
So that's one out of eight.
So you're going to get back to the 500 mark at 4-4-1.
4-4-1. You lose to Seattle, 4-5-1. You lose at Minnesota, 4-6-1. You beat Arizona, 5-6-1.
Well, then they're done.
Right. Atlanta, we'll say at home, 6-6-1. Chicago on the road, 7-6-1. You beat the New York Jets, 8-6-1. And you get the Detroit Lions the last week, 9-6-1. So 9-6-1 is probably more realistic than anything for me at this point.
I think the winner of this division will win it with it's not going to get the double digits. I think if the Packers win this division, which I still think they have a shot at, you cannot. I think they would win it with 8 or 9 wins. You know, the one year they won it 8-7-1.
Right.
In 2013, when they went down to Chicago at Soldier Field. And one of that Aaron Rodgers late touchdown pass.
I look at what, because the Minnesota Vikings don't play this week. They're on a bye this week, so they're going to sit back and watch this thing. But I look at the schedule for both Minnesota and Chicago, and Minnesota's, they don't have a tough, really hard road to go at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still think Minnesota's probably going to be the team to beat. I think the Bears are going to struggle, and most likely rightfully so, but I don't know if the Minnesota Vikings, with what they have for the remainder of the schedule, I don't think it's terrible for them.
Well, here's what they have to do, the Packers. First of all, Miami, go to the 4-4-1, and you got to at least split the Seattle-Minnesota swing. I mean, if you don't split that, if you come back 0-2, like you said, Bill, if you lose Seattle and Minnesota, then they might be finished.
I think Minnesota beats the Bears coming out of the bye week. I think they beat the Packers at home. They got to go on the road. They'll probably lose to New England. They got to go on the road. They'll probably play Seattle tough, but my assumption is that Monday night, because that's a Monday night game, say they lose that game. They beat Miami, they beat Detroit, they beat the Bears again at home, and their season's over.
Yeah,
that's a lot of wins. I don't think you're going to catch them.
Well, like I said, they're going to have to get upset in some of those games. They're going to come out flat. You know, Buffalo beat them earlier this year.
And early, I mean, if you go look at the numbers, Kirk Cousins actually, he's rated above this year when you talk about quarterback position. He's rated above Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I was looking at the ratings this morning on that, and I was surprised to see that.
Yeah.
And because we all made fun of the Kirk Cousins signing.
Right.
And it wasn't like he, had this great game last week against Detroit. You know, Minnesota's defense played better, and Detroit was terrible. But, I mean, look at these quarterback ratings. Rodgers is actually having a better quarterback rating than Tom Brady.
Yes. Kirk Cousins, by the way, 17 touchdowns, 5 picks. Aaron Rodgers, 15 touchdowns, only 1 pick on the season. But Kirk Cousins' overall ranking, 102.2. Aaron Rodgers sitting at 98.9 on the season. Then again, Kirk Cousins, look at his, because he's thrown a lot of short, quick passes out of the backfield. 71.3% is what his completion percentage is, which is absolutely fantastic. It's fantastic. Aaron Rodgers on the season, 60.6, 11 points higher Kirk Cousins is in completion percentage, but it's because he's checking down.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they're setting him up for success.
You know, if you miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, Bill, like the Packers will do. I mean, if they do, if they end up not making the win the division championship, but I don't think they'll get the wild card with a, you know, they either got to win the division or they're not going to the postseason.
By the way, I was trying to find it because I think Mitch Trubisky is 31st at 96.1, 16 touchdowns on the season. 7 picks. So not nearly as good as, say, Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers. But Mitch Trubisky, he's thrown for just about 2,000 yards already. His completion percentage is 64.2%.
I think he's
and you take away the first couple of games of the season where he didn't perform real well, he's been really good lately.
He's been running the ball really well.
And he's running the ball a lot.
He's their best ball carrier.
No, absolutely. He's been running the ball extremely well. And that's one of the reasons that, much like, I don't want to equate him because he doesn't have the same athletic ability, but remember Michael Vick when he ran the ball. You look at a guy like Colin Kaepernick when he ran the ball. He's got all the wherewithal. He's got, right now, 302 rushing yards and 38 attempts, 7.9 yards per carry,
yeah.
2 touchdowns. He's fumbled the football 4 times and lost 2 of them. But nevertheless, he's a running threat. You got to keep him in the pocket as well.
Yeah, but I think the Bears are like 5th in the league in rushing. But most of those yards are because of Trubisky's.
Trubisky's 302 yards on the season.
He's running the football well. So
broadcasting live out here at Bullwinkle's. We are in Brookfield on Blue Mountain Road. Come on by and say hi. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM. The Fan is here. I'm Bill Michaels. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. The Bud Light Street Team's on site. They're giving away some prizes here tonight as well. And don't forget, all those entry blanks go into a big pot. At the end of the year, we're giving away a big screen TV from our friends at ABC Audio Video. We give that away, I think, about 2 weeks before Super Bowl. So that way that thing's installed in your home before the big game hits. But come on out tonight, and you can get yourself registered. I know our Bud Light Street team's running around here. Mel's running around here somewhere, and she'll get you all registered up. Come on out and say hello. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
That's going to be real important because, you know, as you know, we got a game the following Thursday. So, you know, in order to get this win, that's, you know, we kind of got to execute, but at the same time, we need this win, you know, especially to start the streak that we're looking forward to starting.
Welcome back to the program. It's Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live here at Bullwinkle's. We're in Brookfield, Wisconsin. That's where you can find us. And if you come up Blue Mountain Road, right near the corners of Brookfield, right across the street, that's where we're at. Come on by and say hi. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out in Milwaukee, joining us out here as well.
Always an honor, Bill.
Great to see so many good faces, some happy people. One gentleman was not happy. That's okay.
Yeah.
Most people can't hear. They always say, "I can't hear it. Turn it up." So we turn it up. One guy always says, "That's too loud."
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people here.
That's okay. When he came over on the Ark, all the animals must have got to him. So, I mean, that's all right.
He had a Packer hat on, though.
He had a Packer hat. He was a Packers fan. He was a happy guy, but I think he had a date and ended up hanging out with Moses' mom.
Either that or it's past his bedtime.
And, well, that could be possible, too. But nevertheless. So one guy, all right, we'll deal with that. Everybody else having a good time in here tonight, so it's always fun. We were talking about Mike McCarthy before, and coming out of the bye week, he said we're going to run the football more. Now, when he was asked about self-scouting, what do you need to do, he said, well, attempts. Has the commitment to the run been there? I think they're doing it a little bit more, and the fact that they got rid of Ty Montgomery, and now it's just Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, and those two guys are getting the carries. I think it's there. But do you think they trust the run game yet?
When Aaron Jones fumbled on Sunday in the fourth quarter, and the Packers had a pass, they had a drive going, they're making completions, going right down the field.
Yep.
And you know, remember, you were here when Mike Holmgren was here, and Mike would say that, you know, he loves passing the football, and he would always say, well, you know, we got to try to run the football and get it done, but he didn't really mean it. And you knew, because when Holmgren was here, and the Packers would have a drive, and somebody like Levins or Edgar Bennett would fumble the football, he would turn to his assistants, and he would say, guys, and a couple of swear words. This is exactly why I don't want to run the football.
Why I don't run the football, yep.
And when Aaron Jones fumbled on Sunday in the start of the fourth quarter, I was thinking, man, if Holmgren was watching this game, he would say the same thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I don't want to run the football. And I bet you McCarthy publicly won't say it, and he talks about how the putting together the offense always starts with the running game. But, you know, his best point to A to B is still the passing game. I've never been one of these guys where, hey, Packers got to establish the run. Packers got to establish the run. You know, they've won games for years
right.
by passing the football, Bill. How do you feel about that?
I think
people make too big of a deal about the run
I
game.
I think you need to use the run game. Put it this way, Aaron Jones is averaging 9.7 attempts per game. Now, it's going to go up.
Yeah, because,
but he's also averaging 6 yards a carry.
Okay.
I think you have got to use him.
You do, but do you think too much is made when you hear people call the show or come up to you and say, boy, they got to start running the football? It's like, you got Aaron Rodgers.
I think it goes back to being able to get a jump and getting the offense out to a lead. I think you have to be able to establish it, to threaten, to use it, so that way it pulls the safeties up and the linebackers into the box, because you're always going to have to be aware of the run. And that way it opens up the outside. I don't think you can just pass, because Aaron Rodgers already doesn't trust the guys. He's throwing to open jerseys. He's not throwing to spots.
Yeah.
So you got to run the football to open up the outside for him to be able to throw the football more comfortably. I'm not saying they have to run it 25 times a game, because, I mean, like Todd Gurley's getting the ball 20 carries a game. You're not going to do that in Green Bay. But if you can get it to where you – like Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, 16 carries a game. He's averaging 4.5 yards per attempt, 683 yards in a season. He's got a cover. He's got 6 or 7 carries over 20 yards. He's always a threat. You always have to pay attention to him. That kind of running is perfectly serviceable. I mean, even Ezekiel Elliott, he's got 680 yards. He's averaging about 18 carries a game, averaging 4 yards, 4.5 yards a carry. I mean, that kind of thing. Believe it or not, the guy that's actually surprising, Adrian Peterson, 136 attempts, 17 attempts per game, 604 yards, 4 touchdowns on the season. He's got 6 plays over 20. 2 of those are over 40, and he's only got 1 fumble to his name. Adrian Peterson's having a hell of a year.
Isn't it
when you have a run game, it opens everything up.
Yeah. But the Packers, I mean, they've had running backs. They haven't had great running backs, but you know, they've had Amon Green and Dorsey and, you know, Bennett and you know.
When Amon Green was here, he was tremendous as far as a 1-2 punch to the passing game, because that was more true West Coast style. But go back to when, like, James Starks was here, and James Starks was good. Go back to that 2010
yeah.
postseason.
Yeah.
Ryan Grant, when Ryan Grant came on, remember
the year
that he came on and they ended up playing in that Snow Bowl in the postseason against Mike Holmgren in Seattle? That was really serviceable, and you had Brett Favre then. I just think that they need 14 to 15 carries a game out of Aaron Jones, 3 or 4 for Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams kind of a third down back, blocking up the gut. And I think they're going to be really good in that aspect, but I think they need to use it more.
And I think they will. Like you said with Todd Gurley, you're not going to get 25, 26 carries. But if you get 14 to 15 out of Aaron Jones and pick your spots and use him, I think that'll be the case. You know, those numbers where he said he was carrying 9 times a game, you know, that's when, you know, he missed the first couple of weeks. But
right.
He was in McCarthy's doghouse
right.
for a little bit, and then he was the number 3 running back because McCarthy refused to put him ahead of Ty Montgomery in that running back rotation.
Well, that was
so
just dumb to begin with.
It was dumb. Yeah, it was stupid. So
put it this way: everybody in the world could see that he was the better running back.
Yes,
and nothing against Ty, but he just was.
Yeah,
and to say he wasn't, I think, was just obstinance at this point.
This offense, Bill. I mean, you look at it. Okay. Struggling at the guard spot, there's no doubt about that, okay, on the offensive line.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bakhtiari is a terrific left tackle. Balaga, God, he just can't stay healthy.
His better days are behind him, but he's still serviceable.
But whoever is backing him up, you don't get nothing out of that spot. The receiving core, I think this receiving core could be really, really good. These young guys, if they keep stepping up their game, EQ and – of all the Scantlin, I think the receiving core could be really good again the next few years.
How much do you think they're relying on Jimmy Graham to be Jimmy Graham again, though?
Well, that's another thing. You know, we talked about the red zone earlier, Bill.
Yeah.
And I thought two touchdown passes to Jimmy Graham. The other day, he had his second touchdown catch of the year. And it's like, Why does he only have two touchdown catches?
Right.
Weren't we going to hear days of Favre and Bubba Franks and that type of connection?
Right. Remember when Bubba used to do nothing but catch touchdowns?
Yeah,
passes.
People
That's
complained.
All he did.
And Jimmy Graham catches between the 20s, but you don't see him in the red zone. Why
he's
not?
Had, I think he's only like 40% or 40% or 30%, I think, on balls that are thrown into the air that he normally would go up and fight off a defender with one arm, and the other arm he'd haul it in and,
yep.
and make these spectacular catches, what he was doing early on in his career. I think we're also expecting New Orleans Saints Jimmy Graham just because Aaron Rodgers is throwing him the football. And we all thought that. Well, he's got a better quarterback now, so therefore he's just going to start making these catches. And maybe we just witnessed when he went to Seattle that Father Time has beat the hell out of him.
So, in other words, 2 years in a row, Bill, they made a mistake in signing a free agent tight end. Martellus Bennett and now this one, Jimmy
Graham. Yeah, but he's not going to be the headache that Martellus Bennett was.
No, but I mean
– Martellus Bennett is a bona fide idiot.
Yeah, but both those guys came out of fanfare and thinking they were going to be
– Right.
Yeah, a great target at the tight end Martellus spot for Rodgers.
But Martellus Bennett looked decent in the beginning and then just went away.
Lost his mind.
Yeah. He just went out of control.
Lost his mind. And then, you know, Jimmy Graham just – You know, like you said, maybe his better days were in Seattle.
What do you think of Aaron Rodgers and the quarterback coach, Cignetti? Because this is a guy that we don't talk about hardly at all. But you got to wonder, when Aaron's frustrated, they got rid of Alex Van Pelt. Now, I don't understand the whole dynamic there because apparently Alex Van Pelt wanted to go on and get himself a different gig, and Aaron Rodgers didn't know about it, but yet they were supposed to be good friends. I don't know what that dynamic is. I never know how that worked out. But in that sense, what do you think about Frank Cignetti being the guy that's supposed to be that buffer, that guy that's going to teach Aaron Rodgers or help Aaron Rodgers become a better quarterback? Do you think Aaron just kind of feels like he's on an island right now?
I think Aaron just – I don't know what Aaron thinks. I think I'm confused because Frank Cignetti could walk in the room right now and wouldn't even recognize him, you know. And Aaron probably has no chemistry with this guy. They bring Joe Philbin in. And Joe Philbin, they think they're going to throw back to 2011, bringing Philbin. That hasn't worked. I just think the whole offensive operation, you know, they lost Luke Getsy, their wide receiver coach,
right.
But he was a big red zone guy. He's designed many plays in the red zone, and I think Aaron maybe misses that as well. But, you know, the whole operation, I think, between at the end of the day, it's between Rodgers and McCarthy. And I think they have, no matter what the buffer is, those two guys got to be able to be on the same page, and they just aren't. And Rodgers, you see him at his press conferences. You guys were talking about this on your show the other day about you could just see the drama on Aaron Rodgers, and it's got to have an effect on your teammates, doesn't it?
Yeah, you would assume it does. I mean, if you're – I get the sense that Aaron might be going through a little bit of what Brett went through. Where everybody's getting younger. You're the guy that's the veteran. You're trying to teach these guys because you're the guy. Now, Aaron has always been a study of the game, where Brett wasn't for a long time. He just got by on his looks and got by on his
never studied film in college.
Yeah, he didn't study film in college. He didn't study film when he first got to the pros until towards the end, and then he thought, okay, I need to start studying more. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to pass it along to younger guys. You know, he feels kind of isolated because everybody around him is either gone or younger, and he doesn't have a connection there. You've got new coaches. And you're the only guy that remains, but yet you have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. It kind of feel that he's going through some of the same things early on now that Favre went through at the latter portion of his career.
Old guy there. So that would lead to the next question there is, I think people, at least people call my show and they say this, Bill, they question whether or not the Packers should have extended Aaron Rodgers and that maybe Aaron, not only the Packers need a break from him, but does Aaron need a break?
Yeah, but if you let him go and say he goes someplace else.
No, you can't do that.
Say he goes to a decent team that's on the come. They just don't have a course. Say he goes down to Houston. Yeah. Say he goes to Cincinnati. Say he goes to one of these places and just lights it up. Mm-hmm. That would be you might as well pack your bag. They'll burn your house down in Green Bay.
Well, that's why I said. I think people who say that, Bill, are saying that because they're disgusted that the Packers are 3-4-1.
If you knew that it's a rebuild, that the talent is not there, and that the only guy that they have is Aaron Rodgers, then I would say, okay, you know what, send him off to greener pastures, begin the rebuild, get what you can for him, and move on. But you're not in a rebuild. There's no expectation for this team to be bad for 3 years to only turn it back around and suddenly be good. That's not what this is. This is... They need a couple of pieces. They need a pass rush. They need some backup and depth on the offensive line, and they got to draft again for their secondary. Otherwise, it's a pretty good team. I've just pointed out three areas of weakness, but I don't think they're a terrible team. I think they're a team. The fine line between being good and great is probably two, three players.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a couple of Pro Bowlers defensively and one more guy really to help Aaron Rodgers, and you're flying.
Well,
you're off and running.
Probably, you know, they've been healthy, relatively healthy this year, where injuries have always been an excuse for the Packers, but now the injuries started to creep in this past week. Now, some of those guys who went out of the New England game practiced yesterday and, you know, came back again today. But now Mike Daniels is hurt.
Yeah, this is the healthiest they've been in 6 years.
Yeah.
The healthiest they've been in 6 years. So right now, not a lot. By the way, there's another area I want to talk about. We'll talk about injuries when we come back because I want to take a quick break. But I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, too, when it comes to injuries. Stay tuned. We are broadcasting live. We are at Bullwinkles. We're out here on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. Stop on in. Say hi. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, alongside. I'm Bill Michaels, brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
No, anything within reason, obviously. I don't feel comfortable snapping the ball, but I can line up anywhere and run whatever route. So whatever it is that they want me to do. Obviously, 2016, I played a little bit out of the backfield as well. So you know, whatever it is, I feel comfortable doing.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are live out here at Bullwinkles. We're in Brookfield, Blue Mound Road. That's where you can track us down, taking selfies and pictures. We're under the moose. If you take a picture, you got to come over and get under the moose.
Yes.
You know, that's like going down to Great America and not riding a roller coaster. You know, I mean, that's otherwise you're just in a park.
We were under the moose.
Throw a couple of plants around you and call it a day.
I think the last time I did the show with you here, Bill, was like 5 or 6 years ago. We did it across the way.
We did it over on the other side. Yeah. Every other year, though, we've been hearing it a moose.
Yeah.
You know, as long as that tongue never comes out and gets my ear, I'm good to go. Be like a big wet Q-tip.
As long as
it
doesn't come alive, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Sitting here talking with Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee, our flagship station. Thanks to those of you listening all throughout the state and well beyond the borders as well on the network. By the way, we will be live coming up after the game, immediately following the game on Sunday. We'll be at Hinterlands. It's been a while since we've been there, as a matter of fact, because the Packers have been on the road. But we'll be at Hinterland coming up this Sunday after the game. Gary Ellerson is back. So he'll be live and in person as opposed to dead and in person with me, which is always nice. But he had the knee replacement, so he's going to hobble on over. So looking forward to that in the post-game show. Chuck, you'll be in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
After the game with Mike Clemens?
I missed several games early in the season because I was with the Brewers. You know,
yeah.
The Brewers,
yeah.
So I was telling you the other day, I haven't been to Lambeau Field in literally 2 months because of not only the Brewers, the Packers being away, but, you know, just covering the Brewers during that whole stretch. And, you know, they've it's good to be back home.
By the way, speaking of the Brewers, that they were talking today, USA Today, I think it was John Heyman, was talking about possible landing spots for Bryce Harper. He said, make no bones about it, he's going to end up in Philadelphia because they have the money. Then he said the second most likely team to get him would be the Chicago Cubs. The third and fourth most likely team would be Milwaukee and St. Louis.
You'd have to give him part of the Bill Michaels
There's
network.
No way.
No.
You know, first of all, I'm not giving him anything.
Yeah.
I'm not a Bryce Harper fan. But
230 hitter?
Yeah.
Last year,
I mean.
I mean, 500. Under,
and he hasn't hit well in the postseason either. He'll get you there. But I don't know if you're ever going to cross the finish line with him.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a player. There's no doubt about it.
And one thing in baseball, when you pay out those contracts, example, Miguel Cabrera and many other players on the line, by the end of the contract, you're regretting it.
Speaking of that, Bobby Bonilla still gets $1 million a year for the next till 2021
from the Mets. Yeah.
Stupidity. Holy crap.
Stupidity. And that's before contracts even blew up.
Yeah.
Where they are today.
That's just crazy. That's crazy money.
But see, the NFL wants these guaranteed contracts. That's never
going to
happen.
The players do.
Oh, yeah, the players do.
The teams don't.
No, the teams don't. And the teams are never going to let that happen.
Nice lady waving goodbye. She's out of here. Been here a while. She's hanging out. See, she's not like the other guy that were yelling at us that we were too loud. And she's sitting right next to the speaker.
Oh, that wasn't her husband?
No. She's a nice lady.
Okay.
No, the other guy had to go catch an arc back to the promised land, wherever he was off to. I have no idea. Hey, we are going to be out here for another hour, so if you want to swing by and say hello. One of the things that I wanted to bring up was I was listening to you guys this morning talk about Aaron Rodgers and the injuries, and they said, well, you know, he's fragile. He's been banged up. First of all, he had two tackles almost identical in which he broke a collarbone. The weight of somebody completely came down on him, bent the collarbone, and it snapped. Okay, so I get it. But he's played through everything else. He played through the calf muscle injury. He's played through the knee injury. He came back and won a game after getting injured. You know, I mean, I remember Favre had the thumb injury.
Yeah.
Favre had a broken thumb and a dislocated thumb and had some tendon issues.
And a sprained ankle
one week. And a sprained ankle. He ended up getting hit by Warren Sapp, drugged down from behind, twisted. It was a high ankle sprain. I remember McKenzie, the center at the time, carrying him off the field in between series. I mean, it's not like he wasn't banged up. He's also had numerous concussions. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he wasn't banged up. He played through it, you know, and Aaron's playing through it. I don't understand the comparison constantly to Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
Well,
had Brett Favre broken a collarbone, he would not have played.
And Brett Favre, if there was concussion protocol back in the 90s,
he wouldn't have played.
That streak would end a long time ago.
No.
Consecutive streak.
We could have known that by some of his press conferences.
Sure, yeah.
When he starts asking himself questions.
Yeah, no.
You know?
He probably should have played in a lot of those games.
What'd you do last night down at Taylor's? Well, I can't talk about that. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. 1 hour down, 1 hour yet to go. We are broadcasting live Bullwinkles here in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Blue Mound Road, right here near Gerke's Corners. Come on by and say hi. Chuck Freeman alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We have got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.